Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, airlines are making a pile of money selling something other than tickets. Baggage fees, you say? Maybe not, we say.
Is it possible some of the ride-sharing services are cutting down on drunk driving? We have a report.
Airbus is asking for a patent on a new airline seat that can only be described as similar to sitting on a bicycle. Stay tuned for the story at 3:15.
Harry Potter is the theme of a great deal offered by Universal Studios. Gwen Duncan has the deal of the week at 3:35.
If you like riding trains, we're here at 3:40 to learn about. Be here at 3:40 to learn about a luxury trip on the city of New Orleans.
And at 3:50, you'll learn about monkey parking. That's right, monkey parking. The new way to find a parking space in San Francisco. That is, if you're willing to pay for it.
Welcome aboard. We are the Travel Guys, making you a smarter traveler. Starting right now.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Tickets out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys here on KFBK every Sunday at 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left, and it's sprinkling, which is a clear indication that Tom must have washed a couple of cars today.
Sprinkling out there?
Yeah, I think it is.
Pretty dark.
Yeah, it'll rain simply because I washed a couple of cars. Mark, welcome to the program. In the news, they were talking about the 45th anniversary of the moon landing. And I'm just curious. I know where I was. Where were you when we set foot?
That's really strange because as Scott was saying that, I was thinking, wow, I was sitting on the back patio of our house. We lived on Basira Way over by Mariloma High School, and it was, of course, summertime. And the thing kept getting postponed, I remember. It just took he was supposed to walk at a certain time, and then it just went on for hours, and we ate dinner, and we kept waiting. It was about 9 o'clock, it seems like, 8:45, 9 o'clock, before we finally get out there. But yeah, I remember brother, sister, mom, myself, all in front of the TV set.
There you go, in black and white.
What were you doing?
Well, I was working my very first radio job down in Modesto, California, for a big 50,000-watt AM flamethrower, very similar to KFBK, called KTRB.
Ah.
And was pulling an evening shift, brought a TV to the radio station, and watched it there. Interesting was, though, as they led up to that, as just kind of a novelty on the radio, I had listeners call in and guess what they thought were going to be the first words.
What he was going to say.
What he was going to say. And it was really kind of, people just really didn't take it very seriously. They had things like, oh, it's not made out of green cheese. And hi, moon men. And just dumb stuff. I actually, somewhere in my archives, I actually have a recording of
that.
Did
you see today? I was reading online while I was putting together the our news segment here that's coming up in just a minute. This morning that Buzz Aldrin apparently took communion with him to the he wanted to, and they wouldn't show it on the air, and they didn't want to show it on TV for some kind of reason. I don't know what it was, but they wanted one of the first acts on the moon to be, and he describes taking it out of the containers and pouring it on the moon. The moon only has 1/6 of the gravity here, and he was kind of describing how that was and stuff. But it was kind of interesting.
So they actually did it. They just didn't broadcast it.
They just didn't broadcast it. Yeah. Well, so they had communion on the moon.
You know, the whole thing was made up.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
Speaking of made up, let's jump into the travel news and see what travel news Mark has made up.
You know,
today.
Before we start this, it was a long week for the travel industry.
Yes.
A commercial airliner got shot down, and really and truly, when I was putting together the news today, I looked at all the updates for that and everything, and I thought to myself, people have been listening to this for the last 5 days, and they're going to listen to it for a lot for the next 5 days. So it will be conspicuous by its absence from our news report today, because all you have to do is turn on the TV and you can get an update on what's going there, which is not to diminish the fact that almost 300 people got shot out of the sky last week It's not the first time that's happened, by the way. Rachel Maddow on MSNBC had a great piece about all the commercial airliners that have been shot down over the years. And the reality is that it's more than you think it was, because you tend to forget. But anyway, let's hope that that was a mistake, and that it doesn't, that sort of mistake doesn't happen again for a long time.
For sure. And let's take a look at everything else in the travel news.
And everything else in the travel news. All right, United Airlines are making a whole lot of money selling you things other than airline tickets. This one study tells us that airlines are making almost $30 billion globally a year on adding extra fees. And if you don't think it adds up to a lot of money, think about this. Last year, Southwest Airlines, with their little $12.50 thing, $195 million they collected at $12.50 to get on the plane early. The largest share of the revenue, where do you suppose it comes from?
The largest share
of ancillary revenue from for the airlines. You got bags, and you've got, you know, they sell booze on board, and yeah, early boarding. And
I'm guessing the baggage.
60% of it comes from selling frequent flyer program miles to credit card companies.
Wow.
A baggage accounts for about 25% of the revenue. About 10% comes from a la carte services, and about 5% comes from hotels, rental cars, and insurance programs. So 60% comes from just... So you think that credit card business isn't a big deal for the airlines, you would be wrong.
It sounds like the movie theaters, you know, you pay to see the film. The actual amount that goes to the people that make the movie is almost 100%. And the theaters make all of theirs at the snack bar.
That's why the popcorn has to cost $5. It's their only way to get any revenue.
There you go.
We have talked a lot in the last couple of weeks on ride-sharing services. Tom went out into the field, so to speak, well, actually under the streets a couple of weeks ago to try Uber and Lyft. There's also a third ride-sharing service, Sidecar, which is getting going in some cities. And here's an interesting note, Tom. It appears as though there's a possibility that these ride-sharing services are cutting down on drunk driving. The cities of Philadelphia and Seattle both have seen drunk driving arrests decrease since these services got to town. Unit Philadelphia says that drunk driving arrests have dropped 11% since Uber and Sidecar began operating in the city. And Seattle says that they've seen a drop of 10%. So there's maybe a side benefit we didn't think about. People are more likely to hit that button on their phone and get into a car with a stranger than they are to get into a taxi cab?
There you go. All they need to do, if they really want to up this, make the icons on the app larger so that those that are truly intoxicated
can
actually see it and activate it effectively.
Hotels are expanding their mobile check-in options. Marriott Hotels, for example, during the first half of this year, plans to offer mobile check-in at all 500 of its hotels globally, at least for Marriott Rewards members. I used this for the first time, Tom, last week. It's really very easy. All you have to do is have the app on your phone, and it will let you know that when your room is ready. How cool is
that? That's great.
So if you're going to check in early, this will tell you whether or not you can go to the hotel, or maybe you want to go have lunch and go to the hotel a little bit later on. So Hyatt Hotels has a similar process that select hotels with kiosk available for incoming guests to retrieve keys. Starwood is also working on that, Sheraton, a new approach. They are going to give you a key, and then you will activate it when you get to the hotel. So frequent travelers will have their own Sheraton room key. Airbnb, speaking of the sharing economy, is sponsoring the New York City Marathon. Now, why would a company like Airbnb sponsor a marathon? Well, during last year's marathon, over 10,000 visitors stayed with Airbnb facilities in New York City. Over $1 million changed hands from people just staying at Airbnb. So you can see why the city and the state of New York would like to regulate this a little bit, because there's a little bit of room tax that's going uncollected there at 15% in New York City. So that's, you do the math, but it's a lot of money. Business travel is up 3% this year. This is indicates that there's rising confidence by managements in the economic recovery. And business travel supports 7 million jobs in the United States alone. We mentioned a teaser at the top of the hour. Most popular travel booking sites. Tom, do you book travel online? Of course, you have your own private travel agent.
I do. I have you. primarily just rooms. I will book and here again, I won't book it through Expedia or one of those. I have a tendency to use you know, the hotel site.
This surprised me when I saw this this list here. This is website traffic during the month of May. Most hits on their site, booking.com. Then TripAdvisor, Expedia, hotels.com, Airbnb, fifth on the list. What does that tell you?
Wow.
And then Agoda.com. I'm not familiar with that. Might be a foreign site. Priceline, Skyscanner, Kayak, Make My Trip, Cheapo Air, Trivago, Hotel Urbano, Orbitz, Hotwire, and Travelocity. Those are the top 16
hotel websites. Hotel Romano? What was that?
Not Hotel Romano. That's, no, it's Hotel Urbano.
Oh, close.
Urbano.
It's like it's like in Disneyland, they have the Romano rail, you know.
Exactly. United Airlines announced that they are that they have moved to outsource more than 630 unionized jobs at about 17 airports around the country. How does this affect you? I will suggest you it's not a good thing if you fly United Airlines. It means there will be fewer people who know what the heck is going on at the ticket counter, on the ramp, at the gate, etc.
That's your airlines, is it not?
We don't have to go into great detail about that. If we can avoid talking about it, I'd appreciate it. And finally, Hilton Hotels has a new promotion for the summer and fall. Between August 1st and October 31st, Hilton Honors members can earn double points for weekend stays, weekday stays, and triple points for weekend stays. You can register if you're a Hilton Honors member at Hilton.com. And that's the travel news for today.
All right, coming up here on The Travel Guys, when we return just in about 3 minutes, going to talk about, probably the most uncomfortable airline seat ever proposed.
There's a picture of it at travelguysradio.com.
You go look at it. We'll be back. We are the Travel Guys. Lord, I was born a ramblin' man. We're the Ramblin' Men, also known as the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
I know them.
Yeah, I'm Tom.
I'm Mark.
Welcome, everyone. Glad you could join us here on this fine Sunday.
It's a really weird day.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it really strange? I mean, you look out the window here. We're right, just so you know, the KFBK studios are kind of adjacent to Cal Expo here. So I can look out at the back parking lot of the Doubletree Hotel, and I look up into the mountains here, and it looks like if I were driving to El Dorado Springs, I'd make sure that my windshield wipers worked.
You bet. Yeah,
we've got kind of bizarre.
Hopefully, we won't have any lightning strikes, which could result in some fires. By the way, if you're headed out to the State Fair, I want you to know it is zoo, and parking is at a premium. You might even want to park in the Arden Fair parking lot and take a shuttle.
You won't believe this, but a lot of people are parking, you know, between Arden Fair and the fair itself. There are a lot of businesses and parking lots and stuff, and people have just overwhelmed those. I noticed on the way in today.
I'm surprised they haven't commandeered the River Park parking lot here.
There are a lot of people who are at the fair today, and of course, it's a beautiful day. It's only 90 degrees. There's a cool wind blowing, and we got a couple days like this, and then it's going to get hot just in time for me to go to Las Vegas this week, where it's going to be 111.
Well, I hope you've had a chance to go to travelguysradio.com so you can see these for yourself. The new airline seats proposed by our friends at
Airbus.
Airbus, huh?
Can you believe this? Now, there's a picture of it on our website, travelguysradio.com. If you're driving around and you can't go there now, when you get home, go and look at it. And just get, especially if you fly, whether you fly frequently or you fly occasionally, this is not pretend. This is not something that somebody just thought up. They have filed for a patent on this. It's kind of a folding, it's a bicycle sort of like seat.
It's a bicycle seat with a back and armrests.
Uh-huh. But
basically,
the back doesn't go all the way up. It only goes about halfway up. Well, about two-thirds of the way up your back. And the seat folds up. Do you see how close those look together there?
Now, the purpose of the seat folding up is for easier exits and entry to, let's say, the third seat up against the window.
And to put the seats, if you can put the seats closer together, you see, if your legs are not on the, know how a seat is now, it's even on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So your legs obviously have to be in the front of the seat. With this bicycle seat concept, your legs fall back closer to the front edge. Mm-hmm. Of the seat that allows them to put the seat in front of you a lot closer than it used to be. So if if you were claustrophobic before, imagine trying to use a computer. Imagine trying to take a nap with your head on your tray. Imagine trying to just think.
Are they even going to have food trays? and so forth.
I
can't
would imagine.
See the back of them, so I don't know.
And here is the kicker. Let's see. Airbus gets at something essential in their statement. Let's see. Airbus asserts, reduced comfort remains tolerable for the passengers in as much as the flight only lasts for one or a few hours.
What's a few hours?
And the guy who wrote this says, Airbus gets to something essential in their statement by using the word tolerable. Airline passengers tolerate an increasing amount of discomfort while paying ever-increasing fees for the luxury of flight. Tolerable.
Well, the only way that you would get me on an airplane with a seat like that is with about a 50% price reduction and my air flight.
And if they could put twice as many people on the plane, you might actually get that
reduction.
Well,
you know, I would, let's say between here and L.A., quick flight down to Anaheim to go to Disneyland. I might put up with it.
See, this isn't as bizarre as it seems.
If I'm paying $30 instead of $67.50, which is pretty cheap if you book ahead already.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine the fact that you can get on an airplane and relocate yourself 400 miles away for less than $100.
That's crazy.
I mean, it is crazy.
I mean, you can't even pay for the gas.
No.
Unless you're driving a Prius, you know.
Exactly. Did you hear about the man? Let's shift gears here for a minute. This guy decided to create a program for his children in which they could accumulate points. His kids are 12 and 9 years old. And so he created this program where his kids could earn points, and the points could be redeemed for treats or for a movie or to go to a particular place or something like that. Did you ever do that when you were?
You know, we did.
Two girls?
It was usually a trip to Toys R Us, to the My Little Pony aisle. Would be the reward for, you know, taking care of your room, helping out around the house, just getting your homework done without us parents having to, you know, browbeat you into doing it. So, yeah, you know, a lot of folks have a tendency to punish for bad behavior, but don't spend a lot of time rewarding for good behavior. This is pretty brilliant.
And
clearly a frequent flyer kind of person.
Well, and because I'm an old school sort of guy, it strikes me as kind of bizarre. But I'm also a frequent flyer point collector, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what a great way kids these days, I would hope some kids at least are getting more into technology and things of this sort. So, you know, they could keep track of their points on their phone.
I can see it now. You would have actually a sort of like a credit card that and you know, they would go over and they would scan it on some device that you created.
This guy
would add points to it.
He related that his 12-year-old when came in to negotiate for the number of points he was going to get for doing the weeding in the front line, because whatever dad had assigned the point value, dad had assigned to weeding. The 12-year-old didn't feel
he didn't
was quite buy into was it. Quite appropriate. Here's something else that's kind of fun here. Things you should never do in regards to an airline bathroom.
Now, this is the stuff we're talking about, designed to make you
a smarter
traveler. And you might, this also will determine whether you are already a smart traveler.
Do you use the bathroom on airplanes? Some people
do
not.
On occasion.
Uh-huh.
Yes, on occasion.
And are you like me? I try not to touch anything if I don't have to.
Absolutely.
I mean, I almost feel like I should put gloves, especially if I've seen the people who have gone into the restroom ahead of me.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a very small place. And there's not, I mean, there's a lot of common surfaces there, you know. I mean, if anybody had anything, you'd pretty much get it.
Yeah, and here again, you're talking about if you are claustrophobic, shutting yourself into a restroom on an airline is probably the supreme test as to how claustrophobic you might be.
And inevitably, when I get in there, the first thing that happens is, ding, please return to your, you know, which means hold on for dear life, because it's like hold on and hold on, and the guys have only got so many hands. First rule in an airline bathroom, of course, obviously, don't make a mess.
Well, I always thought it was don't tamper with the smoke detector, or we'll throw you off the plane while in motion.
Here's another one. Don't ask fellow flyers to watch your children. So what are you supposed to, and we had our flight attendant on last week, and she said, that she doesn't mind watching people's kids, but that some flight attendants won't do it.
Yeah, you're traveling alone. You're a mom or a dad traveling alone with a small child that you wouldn't
or
would leave them alone. And nature calls. That's a tough go, is to not, you know, try to get someone to give you a 3 minute, 2 minute break.
So you're sitting on the airplane and you're on an 8 hour flight to Europe, let's say, or a 6 hour flight across the country to Washington Dulles or to Hawaii or something. And you're lucky enough to get an aisle seat. And there's a lady on the window, and she gets up every hour and a half to go to the restroom.
Because she's drinking beer.
Exactly. Or just because she has a weak bladder. Or just because she's got a bad leg and she wants to get up. Exactly.
Yes.
And stretch or do what you're supposed to do when you're on long airplane flights. So if you have that aisle seat, you have to put up with the fact that people are going to get up and go to the restroom. You're lucky enough to be on the aisle, and you just have to grin and bear it.
There you go. And hopefully you do not have a laptop that you need to put on your tray. And you're in the middle of something because the lap tray has to go up, the computer has to be put away to be able to clear space.
You've obviously watched me when I travel. Don't take forever in the bathroom is on this list. You know, there may not have been a line when you went in, but now you've decided to do your hair and fix your makeup.
Finish that novel you started.
Exactly. And there could be four or five people waiting outside, and who knows how badly they need to get inside. Don't go at the wrong time. You know, people who sit and wait 20 minutes when they could have gone to the restroom, and now the flight attendants get out into the aisles with the carts, and four people have to get up and go to the restroom all of a sudden. I can only imagine being a flight attendant what that must feel like.
Oh, yes.
Like, what they would like to be able to say that they can't be. Don't be rude in line. If you're waiting in line to use the restroom facility in the back of the plane, you know, be cool.
You mean you can't say things like, I was only 25 when I got in this line. I am 53 now.
Exactly. And the last thing on this list about things you should never do in an airline bathroom, for the love of all things holy, don't forget to lock the door. You would be surprised how many times this happens on airplanes. If you happen to sit, you know, if you're in the front of coach in that economy plus section, yeah. I tend to be in that section.
Right.
And then there's a restroom in the middle of the longer, bigger planes now. And it's amazing how many times somebody goes into the bathroom and doesn't lock the door.
Yep.
And obviously, embarrassing situations can result. Some things that you should never do in an airline bathroom. All right, when we come back after the break, Gwen Duncan is going to join us. She's going to talk about the deal of the week, which involves Harry Potter. So if you are a mother or a father out there thinking about a trip to Orlando this fall, which is a great time to travel, fall, remember that, Hawaii, Orlando, all those kinds of places, she's got a great deal for you. And also, we are going to talk about trains and about how to get a great parking space in San Francisco. We are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Back after the news on KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, and the city of New Orleans oftentimes is one of our, what we call the bumper music, and for good reason, because it, of course, depicts travel by rail. Mark, we got a special guest with us on the line today. Tell our folks, our listeners, who it is and what's it about.
We do. We have Reno Gazzola on the line with us. Reno is with a company called Premier Rail Collection. And one of their collection is Pullman Rail Journeys, which is currently operating trips from New Orleans to Chicago, and next year hopes to start operating specialty trains from Chicago to New York City. And this is not just any train, folks. You've seen the Orient Express and some of those exotic train rides, perhaps the Canadian across through the Canadian Rockies in Canada. This is one of those types of trains. Reno, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Reno, tell us a little bit about your company, Pullman Rail Journeys. You told me off-air started last year. You've got your first service up and running. Now you're working on your second service. Tell us a little bit about Pullman Rail Journeys and what makes this such an incredibly special experience.
We are something that is a revisit to the past, a restoration of what was American rail travel, and patterned specifically after Pullman Standard Company's operation. We actually are probably closer, rather than to the city of New Orleans that you know, we're closer to what would have been the Panama Limited. And the reason I use that term is that that was the famous train that was all first class that was operated by the Illinois Central Railroad.
They run both south to north and north to south. Our group will be running from New Orleans to Chicago in late September. How often do the trips operate?
Yeah, we're excited about having the group aboard as well. We run weekly, and we operate from Chicago to New Orleans, departing on Thursdays. from New Orleans to Chicago, departing on Sundays. And the beautiful thing about our station there, we're actually attached to the Amtrak train. We are two separate trains for all intents and purposes. You don't have access from one to the other. But that station there is shared with Amtrak, and it's just a short mile to the French Quarter from our location. So we're a great central location in the city.
Reno, when the train rolls out of the station, and tell me a little bit about what makes this trip different from just riding on a regular Amtrak train. I mean, of course, you can get fed and you can get watered on an Amtrak train. What makes this the Pullman Rail journey special? Folks sleep on the train, I understand.
Absolutely. What is special about us is with Amtrak, of course, you have a nice service that's available to you, whether you travel coach or sleeper. But the lounge closes at night, and you have bedrooms which are a modern design that are comfortable, yet I don't know that you can really improve on what Pullman designed in the 1940s and 50s from the standards of comfort. Also, our club car never closes, and just like Amtrak, your meals are included aboard our train. However, the one thing that's not included on Amtrak are cocktails, and we offer some wonderful top-shelf cocktails such as Grey Goose Vodka, Glenlivet, if you're a Scotch lover, and so on. Lovely wines. You never pay a dime more once you step aboard the train.
Reno, let me ask you, did I read in your literature that you have copied some of the old-time rail meals?
Well, that's the other fun part about traveling on Pullman. While we have given a nod to the a modern traveler by including complimentary high-speed wireless available on board, so you never have to travel disconnected. You can keep in touch with family and friends. But everything other than that is completely traditional. The porters, and we do have Pullman porters trained in the same way they were in the 40s, serving you on board, and menus that were inspired by the menus of the original Illinois Central Railroad.
Reno, do you have entertainment on board?
On some departures, we do. We have guests aboard from the Old Town School of Music, which we are a sponsor in Chicago. The music is traditional American music, and it can run the gamut from zydeco to Western to jazz.
Gosh, Reno, this sounds like a train lover's dream come true. I mean, first of all, you're starting in New Orleans, which is an incredibly wonderful city. Our group flies in the day before and does a little sightseeing in New Orleans before they get on the train. Ditto for after they arrive in Chicago. Great thing about Chicago is, talk about a train city, you can actually go to Pullman, Illinois, and to the city where the train cars were made.
Exactly. That's a great little destination. Would you like to know a little bit about the rooms on the train?
Absolutely. If you can just, we're going to run out of time here, but quickly, tell us a little bit about the sleeping accommodations on board.
Sure. Most people will choose a bedroom accommodation aboard, and these are traditional rooms. The equipment itself is made to look as close as it was on the day that it was first manufactured and brought into service. At that time, you had the wonderful painted surfaces, the muted colors of the upholstery and the carpeting that reflected the taste of Pullman at the time. And so the bedroom will either have a sofa by day or two chairs that move about the room with one berth on the lower, one berth on the upper. It has a ladder for that upper berth. It's a private room with a door that closes and a private toilet annex. Just outside in each car, there's also a shower that's available to schedule through the Pullman porter who serves you in your room. So I think most will choose that accommodation, but there are other choices available on board. The bedroom is our most popular, though. It can serve one or two guests.
Wow, that sounds just amazing. If you would like to be a part of a Pullman Rail journey, Sports Leisure Vacations is offering such a trip the 24th through the 27th of September. You can go to sportsleisure.com and just click on the link at the top, USA link at the top, and it will take you to the right called Riding on the City of New Orleans. Or if you are interested in just an independent trip, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There we will have links both to the Pullman Rail Journeys and also to the parent company, Premier Rails, which is a series of sightseeing trains throughout the country, many of which some of the, of our listeners have probably been on before. So if you're a train enthusiast, we would love to have you join us in September. But we have information available for you at travelguysradio.com. And Reno, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time with us today to explain the Pullman Rail Journeys. And hopefully we will have a live broadcast, perhaps from the train, with our group from New Orleans in September.
Well, let me simply say, all aboard. We'll look forward to see you then.
We are the Travel Guys, riding the rails on News Radio KFBK.
And when we come back, we will take you to San Francisco to show you how to find a parking spot, a difficult parking spot, monkey parking. Details next on KFBK.
Welcome. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations over there. I'm Tom Romano. And Mark, it's time to bring people up to date on something new and different in the world of travel.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all about apps these days, and it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're 8 or 80, everybody knows what an app is. Not everybody wants to use them, but everybody knows what they are. And there's another little app that you can put on your telephone that will help you get a parking space in San Francisco if you're willing to fork over a little bit of cash.
Interesting.
And it's a little bit controversial. Let me ask you, Tom.
Okay.
If you're driving into the city with your wife, and, you know, you're going to go to a show or to the theater or something like that, or go to dinner, you're going to some event in the city.
I'm there.
You're getting close to San Francisco, and you're thinking, man, parking is going to be just unbelievable. There's no garage within three or four blocks of where I'm going.
Always is.
And you punch on this app. You look for people who might be willing to give you their parking space in exchange for a little scratch.
Well, you know, that that sounds doable. I mean,
you know, I mean, it just depends if how long you've been looking for a spot. How desperate are you? And so along comes monkey parking in San Francisco. It's an interesting concept, and joining us on the phone here from monkey parking is Paulo. Is that right? Am I getting that fairly close?
Yeah, exactly. Hi guys, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Paulo. So you started us monkey parking. Why don't you start off by explaining to listeners exactly how it came about and what it's supposed to do?
Okay. Basically, monkey parking is connecting drivers looking for parking with drivers who already park and are about to leave from a parking spot. And we are trying to provide something useful and valuable to both of them. So if you're looking for parking in the train area that you described before, you can get rid of circling the block and looking randomly for a parking spot, because you can bid some money to other drivers who already park and are close to their leaving time. And in the other case, if you already park, you can make some money out of something that you do every day, which is just leaving from a parking spot. That is the concept behind it. And we came about with this idea because I'm from Rome, Italy, and yeah, some time ago I was going to a soccer match close at the stadium, and we were looking for parking as people do every day, and more than half an hour, because there was an important match, so a lot of people going there. And we were also looking for garages that were full. And so we realized we were already ready to pay some money to solve the problem and find a parking spot before the starting of the match. And we were looking at spots opening up around, but other drivers maybe not driving around so much as we were doing, were getting them. So we thought, well, what if we could put a system in which we could pay and we could know which is the next parking spot becoming available, so that we could be there at the right place at the right time to get it.
That's I think the phrase is, what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention, don't you think, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. So, Paulo, this has not been there are two sides to this issue, and some folks in the city of San Francisco, high up folks, are not real happy about this concept. You've had some pushback.
Yes. Since the beginning, we had some people like worried about the abuses that a service like this could imply. Like someone is claiming that could become a job from somebody just stealing parking spots and reselling them to the highest bidder. Uh-huh. Uh, but But, I mean, this is something that is not part of our business plan. Our mission is basically to provide something which is useful to the citizen, because people could, like, solve a problem, but to the city itself, because if we reduce the number of cars going around and the time that it takes for a car to get a parking spot, I think we can have a positive impact on the traffic congestion and the related pollution as well.
Okay, so I'm driving into the city, and I've got monkey parking on my phone, and hopefully I'm not the driver doing this as I'm driving. My passenger takes out their smartphone, and they pull up the app, and now I make a bid, right? I tell people where I want to park, and I make a bid of what I'm willing to pay for that parking spot?
Exactly.
Is this a bid-ask sort of thing? I mean, are there people putting notices up all the time saying, I have a parking spot, and people who are putting notices up saying, I need a parking spot?
Yeah, basically, you just said where you left, where is your car location. Mm-hmm. Let's say you are on your office and your car is parked around the block. And then from that moment on, you start receiving alerts notifying you about drivers willing to find the parking and to pay for it, and with the amount that they selected in their bid.
So basically, one person is offering the slot on your website and or on your app, should I say, and the other person is accepting it. And once somebody pushes accept, that they're accepting that they're going to give up that space for you, then it's locked down for you. Is that correct?
Basically, you're not sure until the end. I mean, the parking is very chaotic and a lot of variables are involved. So you will not pay any money until you confirm that the information you got successfully made you park. So
how does the money change hands here? Can
Mike,
I ask?
Great
is this
question.
All done on the internet?
Oh yes. It's totally processed through the app. So basically, people put their paying references inside our monkey parking, and everything is processed through the app, so nothing has to be exchanged by the two guys.
And lastly, how does your company make money?
Oh, we're getting a commission out of the transaction, which we use to pay our payment provider, which is Stripe, and to generate the margin for our company. But in this current moment, we are not taking any commission because we are investing all the money that is bidded into our monkey parking pockets because we want to grow up our user base.
While you're trying to work this out with the city in San Francisco, so is the service currently active? I mean, can people place bids now, or are you kind of on hold while you work this out with the city of San Francisco?
No, exactly. We wanted to go there with the best attitude. So we suspended the service before I came here, and it's still already the app is fully downloadable and you can look at it. But the bidding system is being disabled just in the San Francisco area.
Paulo, thank you for giving us an update, and I hope that once this all gets worked out in San Francisco, we'll have you back on, and you can let us know how it all turns out, because people from Sacramento go to San Francisco a lot, and I'm sure that there are people in Sacramento who would be interested in the ability to be able to get a parking space when they need it in San Francisco. So keep us updated, will you, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. It's been great.
And I'm going to start an app called Gorilla Parking. When you're at a concert and you're occupying a porta potty, you know how the rest of it would go. Okay. All right.
Leaving in 2 minutes. If you'd like to occupy this porta potty, put your bid in now.
There you go.
You heard him talking about soccer
Not
games.
Three times.
Our lucky sports leisure traveler for the week is Nancy Cornwell. Nancy Cornwell, you have won a $50 travel certificate. If you call the sports leisure office Monday or Tuesday, we'll make that $100 instead of just $50. Thomas, it's raining outside.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
It's because I washed my car.
And I washed mine Friday. You washed yours Saturday?
Yes.
So we really could have predicted this.
Pretty much.
We'll be back next week. We're going to talk about your pet travel peeves with the travel guys next week. So anything that bugs you when you travel.
Have a great week. Scott with the news next. Thanks for joining us. We are the Travel Guys.